telling me how I'm supposed to get them forgiven? It's not by my works. It's by His blood. That blood that He shed on Calvary's cross. And yeah, that's a good song. Definitely appreciate that. This morning we're going to be in Psalms chapter 25. Be looking at the last few verses of that chapter, Psalms chapter 25. We'll begin. I'm just going to kind of read through this morning, starting at verse 17. Scripture begins. It says, "The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distress. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for scriptures that are honest about how life really is in many, many cases of our lives, and how appropriate that, you know, Brother Sean sang a song that talks about our sins being forgiven, and here we have a verse that addresses that Lord, we need forgiveness of our sins. As we go through the troubles and struggles of each and every day, help us, Lord, to remember that you're there with us and that you've got a message for us, you've got a plan for us. Help us to acknowledge you in all these things and to not get distracted by all the world, but to wait on you and to keep our eyes on Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for these scriptures. Help us as we go into this message, that you would just help our ears to be attuned to your spirit and what you're saying to us. Guide us in these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we get to this, to verse 17. I know this is a little bit different than what I have been doing on Sunday mornings. But you ever have a bad day? You ever feel like you're having a bad day? Well, I guess maybe I was having a bad day and I was feeling I don't know, a little bit discouraged, a little bit depressed. I know preachers aren't supposed to ever feel like that, are they? Because none of y'all ever feel like that, do you? And the psalmist, David, he's like, oh, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. If it wasn't bad yesterday, today's even worse. They're enlarged. They get worse. And he's being honest. And you know, and it's okay to be honest with God and say, God, I'm having a bad day today. In fact, it'd be really good if you were honest with God and said, and yourself, Lord, I'm having a bad day. There's troubles, and they're just getting larger. They're getting worse. I don't know what to do with all this. And he starts praying. And this is how he starts his prayer, talking to God, telling him, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. You know, Psalm 116 and verse 3 helps us understand why we have troubles in this life. It says, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold on me. I found trouble and sorrow. You know, the reasons that we have trouble and sorrows in this life is because of something that happened back during Adam and Eve's day. It's called the fall. When sin entered the world, it plunged us into a lifestyle that we're going to have every day. Expect something to not go completely right. You know, there's been many days when if everything seemed like it was going smooth and good, I'm asking God, what am I doing wrong? Because that's not typical. It seems like. Because this life, it just seems like it's full of troubles every day. the pains of hell got hold on me. Nobody ever felt like that, huh? Back is hurting. Try to walk to the door, and you're getting dizzy and fall down. I had that happen to me one time. I got fluid on my ear. I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me, but I knew every time I got out of a car, the world kept going. And then I would go home and I would stand up, and it is hard to run through a hallway when you're so dizzy, you're hitting both sides. And you're like, oh, that just happens to older people. No, I was much younger even then when it was happening. See, pain, the pains of hell, see the things that, the trouble that's trying to drag each and every one of us to a place that we don't want to go. The devil wants those things to happen to you. He wants you to not feel good. He wants you to struggle in this life. He wants you to get wrapped up in these things. And I want you to catch something as the psalmist, as he's reading through here, he's thinking about himself so much as he begins. But he realizes something. I've got to get off of myself. As bad as your life is, we have to focus on others. That's what Jesus told us to do. Think about others. You know, if you've come on Wednesday nights and you've heard some of the Bible studies then, several times as we're going through the prayer list, I'll mention, if you want your prayers answered, the needs in your life met, you pray for others. Basically, if you're just so wrapped up in yourself that you can only pray for yourself, which that's where the devil wants you, he wants you to only pray for yourself. Those prayers, they barely make it past the ceiling because you're not praying with the heart of Christ. You're praying with a heart of selfishness. It's all about me. It's all about me. I've been there because the troubles of this world, they just weighted down on me. They were on my shoulders so heavy. And all I could think about whenever I prayed was myself. And things just kept getting worse and worse because that's all I was thinking about. I just wanted me better. And I wouldn't think about my blessings and I wouldn't think about other people. And here the psalmist, his troubles keep getting enlarged. Psalms 90 and verse 10. This verse will tell us that the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their strength is labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. See, he's saying that, you know, not many of us even make it to 70 years. But if you make it to 80, you start thinking back, wow, those are hard years. Many, many hard years in that group. Lord, my problems were so much worse. Were so bad back then, and now they're just getting worse and worse. It's like it's speeding in the bad direction. Don't get caught up in those. Don't get caught up in those. Keep thinking that there is a better future for you. Because one day this body, it's gonna quit. It's gonna fail. And then you got to think about this. What's eternal? Well, your soul is. It's got a place that God has prepared for it. The scripture tells us that. Jesus told his disciples, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. Paul will even tell us that we are already seated in heavenly places. That if you're a born again person, you're already in heaven. You're just waiting on time to get caught up with it. Time is this body. And time will take its toll on it. It's going to take it out. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. And what we've done during this life, that's what's going to be judged. But during that time, troubles and sorrow. Verse 18, he looks down, he says, look upon my affliction and my pain. You know, when I first saw this, I'm thinking, well, somebody's tormenting him. But then I looked up the word, you know, It's really good if you have a dictionary sometimes or a concordance whenever you're studying scripture. So I just looked up this concordance. And this affliction right here, it actually means unloved. You know, I was thinking about that this week. That so many people feel like they're unloved. You know, we've got the highest rate of teenage suicide that we've ever had in this nation. They feel unloved. And they feel afflicted. They feel afflicted by their peers. We've got a cousin that she doesn't want to go back to school anymore because she keeps getting bullied every time she goes to school. And she's not even alone. It's all over. They feel unloved. They're afflicted. And the psalmist, he's understanding this. This isn't a new thing. If you look back in Genesis chapter 29, there was this lady. Her name was Leah. She was one of Jacob's wives. You know, it would have been good if he had just had one wife, but, you know, he just wasn't right with God. And back then, they allowed multiple wives in that culture. And Leah, poor Leah, she wasn't the prettiest of young ladies. Wasn't that attractive. And her sister, she seemed to have, she got all the good genes, she thought. Y'all ever been there? Like, my sibling got all the good genes. I got all the bad ones. She's like, I want my husband to love me. That's all she wanted. She wanted her husband to love her. And she begs God for her kid. She's like, God's looked upon my affliction. Surely the Lord hath looked upon my... If you look at Genesis chapter 29 and verse 32, and Leah conceived to bear a son, she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. How unloved I am. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. See, we've got a society that thinks just like Leah. They think, I need somebody in this world to love me. And they don't think that God loves them. If God loved me, then all these other people would love me. But you got to remember, the devil's in this world. He wants you to feel unloved, unwanted. And then the pain. In verse 18, he says, and my pain. This pain is heavy, weariness, labor. Probably because they're around foolish people. That's the context that this word is being used. In Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 15, it says, the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them because he knoweth not how to go to the city. You ever been around people that they just can't seem to figure out how to do their job right? Maybe you've got some kids that they just struggle to live right, and they're wearing you out. You're praying for them, and they just won't seem to get on the right page with God. And it's wearisome to you. And sometimes you even wonder, do my kids even love me? Some kids think, do my parents even love me? And they're wearied. And they're worn. And this world is taking its toll on them. And the troubles of their heart are enlarging. And then the psalmist realizes something. Forgive my sins. Because whenever you dwell on these things, it's going to cause bitterness to happen. It's going to cause you to think incorrectly. You know, I've been in that place. In the Air Force, we'd ask somebody, are you having bad thoughts? We're talking about, do you want to hurt yourself? Do you want to hurt others? You know, in the military has seen a spike in suicides. And they would tell us, ask them the hard questions. Because we realize that we've got to help We've got to make sure that are our people going that direction. We've got to know, because we realize it's a hard job that we're doing, and this life is hard, and we can become discouraged and distracted and think on ourselves. The scripture says that's a sin. It's a sin that needs to be repented of. And we need to make sure that if that's going on in our own lives, that we repent. Look at verse 19. He says, "Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred." You know, it really is a reality that we have enemies in this world. The biggest one of all is the devil. And he's after you, and he's after me. He wants us to hurt ourselves. He wants us to hurt others. And we have many enemies, according to the psalmist. There's people that don't want you to have a good day. You ever heard that expression that hurting people hurt others? It's true. It's true. You may have been there. You may have been the hurting person that was hurting others. I've been there. Because I don't see the sin that's going on in my life. Because that's what's going on. I've become selfish. I've been thinking inside of my own little box, inside of my own little world. Psalm 71, verse 10 and 11, it says, "For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for me take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him." You see, the devil looks at you, and he wants people to push your buttons. He wants people to get you to thinking in the wrong direction. And he's got his people. Like that young girl that I was telling you about that gets bullied at school. The devil's got his crew. And she's a target. And he's after her, and he wants to discourage her, and he wants to bring her down. Yeah, he's got his guys. And they take counsel together. How can we make that person's life more miserable? You think, no, that's just your imagination. People don't really do that. I think they do. I think they do. In their free time, I guess they need more hobbies or something, but in their free time, they're thinking, how can I make this person more miserable? What it is, they're imagining vain thoughts. They may think that you said something that you didn't really say, misinterpreting the conversation, and just making up a whole different scenario of what really happened. And then they start thinking, I'm going to get them back. Revenge is mine, saith the Lord. We're not supposed to go that direction. In John 8 and 44, Jesus will tell the scribes of the Pharisees, "You're of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." That we live in a world that is operating under the devil's command. If you're born again, you're not supposed to be operating under the devil's command. You're supposed to be led by the Spirit. But we have to live in this world that's operated under the enemy's command. It's like we're on the wrong side of the war. We're in enemy territory for right now. And we're supposed to be more than conquerors, the scripture tells us. We're supposed to keep our mind on Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to be his witnesses, knowing that this world is of its father, the devil. If you're not saved, guess who your daddy is? The devil. And he's doing things in your life, trying to get you to become more and more his child. Don't go and hit with him. Seek God's face. Seek God's forgiveness. Ezekiel 22 and verse 25. I don't know if you know the kind of the story that was going on in Ezekiel. But Ezekiel is preparing Israel for Babylon to come over and take over. And Ezekiel saw something. God showed him something. That Israel kept going worse and worse. You know, we would say they're morally deprived. They're giving more into the lust of this world. And Ezekiel saw something. He saw why all that was happening. He says there's a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. They're like a roaring lion ravening the prey. And they have devoured souls. You're like, no. Preachers don't do that. Preachers aren't like that. But you know what we've been seeing over the past 10 years? An influx of preachers that are predators. Of deacons and men of God, men who we think were of God. And they have become the ravening lions. And they think that they're above the reproach. They're above the congregation. And they're not caring for the souls of the ones that they're speaking the message to. And they're preying on them. They want their money. They want their lives. They just want whatever it is. It's all about them and not about God or His Word. But I'm telling you, Ezekiel saw that in his day. We're seeing it in ours. And you know, we can tell because we see the moral depravity of our nation. I mean, our lawmakers can't even pass a bill. Our cities, they can't control crime. You see, we've got some problems. And it starts when the prophets in the midst are like ravening lions. Paul will even say, beware, because when I'm gone, there's going to come in some who want to draw you away from true faith. What are they trying to draw them away from? The Scriptures. I know I'm reading you a lot of Scriptures this morning, but I want you to know that the troubles in your heart, the troubles in your life, they're going to enlarge in this world. And there's only one way that it can be taken care of. There's only one person who can help. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He has given us His Word, His counsel. If we would hear it, if we would take it to be a permanent part of our life, a daily part of our life. But what we have is we have a generation growing up in church. All they know is what the preacher tells them. All they know is maybe what they get out of a song. They'll spend a lot of time focusing on the song and not focusing on God's Word. But y'all came here to hear some of God's Word today, right? I know this isn't one of my normal type messages, but you know, my heart goes out to those whose troubles have been enlarged this week. One of those persons is this guy right here. And he looks down. And I'm like, Lord, I see this all over the place. The guys who are supposed to be giving out your message, they look like they're becoming these roaring lions, eating up your people. And it breaks my heart. They've taken the treasure and the precious things. Their bank accounts have been getting bigger on the account of God's people. And they're not thinking about the lost souls. They're not praying for them. They're not praying for their churches. They're thinking about their own selves. And it says that they've even made many widows in the midst thereof. We're seeing that kind of thing in our day. And we've got to get back to the fundamentals of the Scripture, what Jesus said. Because we have a bunch of hurting people out there who need their sins forgiven, just like he says here. And those people, those that we just mentioned, it says that they hate you with cruel hatred. It's cruel. It shouldn't be like that, but it is. But let me tell you some good news. Y'all want to hear some good news now? Let's look at verse 20. He says, "Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee." The psalmist, he's looking at this. He sees how he fits in these scriptures. Can you see how you fit in these scriptures before? And he says, "Oh Lord, keep my soul and deliver me." Let me tell you, you have a deliverer today. His name is Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross 2,000 years ago to deliver your soul. Because he wants to keep your soul. He wants to bring it to be with him. There was a song that came out some years ago called "My Deliverer is Coming." Aren't you glad that Jesus isn't going to stay gone, that he's going to come back? He's going to deliver you. All these troubles that you think are in your life that are problems today, he's going to deliver you from those. The scripture even tells us in Revelation that he's going to make all things new. Old things are going to be passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Some of the old things that's going to be passed away is all my sin, all my lust, all my desires. They're going to be gone. I'm going to be delivered from those. I'm going to be delivered from the curse that came on Adam and that came on Eve. And I'm going to have a new life. And the scripture says he gives me a new name. There's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. Because my sins are forgiven. Because my deliverer came 2,000 years ago. And he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." See, he wants to deliver the world. If they'd believe in him, that they would not perish, but have everlasting life. See, there's a deliverer. And I'm not ashamed of it. The psalmist isn't ashamed. I'm not ashamed of it. Romans 1 and 16. See, I'm not confused. See, that ashamed means confused. I'm not confused. Because I know to where my help comes from. The psalmist will say in another place, "I'm looking up to the hills from whence cometh my help." I'm not ashamed, Paul will say. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. See, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because if I know if I'm going to be delivered from this world and all the problems, all the things that keep bringing me down every day, what I have to do is I have to lift up the gospel. I have to remember the gospel, how Jesus died for my sins, how they've been applied to the cross. I owed a debt that I couldn't pay, but Jesus paid it for me with his own precious blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, he loves you today. He wants to rescue you. He wants to deliver you. You don't need to be ashamed. You don't need to be confused in what's going on in this world. What you need to do is you need to put your trust in him. Just like the passage says right here, "For I put my trust in thee." Have you put your trust in Jesus today? Have you really put your trust in Jesus today? Or are you trusting in something else? Like, "Oh no, I can do this. I can get through this." You can get through it if you put your trust in Jesus Christ. Yeah, sometimes you have your own willpower. You can make it through. But I know without a doubt, if you put your trust in Jesus, he'll get you through it. Because he cares for you. He's our refuge. He's our hope. You know, if you want to count on me to get you through a problem, what I'll do is I'll take you to the Scripture. Because I know that this Scripture is profitable for all the counsel that you need. The biggest problem we have with it is application, is applying it. Have you put your trust in Jesus? You can. You absolutely can. Look at verse 21 with me. He says, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee." This waiting on thee, it's looking for Jesus. Hey, are you looking for Jesus in your life? Are you looking for where He's working? Are you looking for His return? The Scripture tells us that we're supposed to be looking for our Redeemer. We're supposed to be waiting on Him, looking for Him. Are you looking for Him? This is what Isaiah will say about that in Isaiah 40 and verse 31. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord," those that are looking for Jesus, those who are waiting on God, He says, "He shall renew their strength." When the troubles of this life are enlarging, and it just doesn't seem like, how am I going to make it through? When it seems like my enemies are growing more and more, when I look around and all I see are those who look like they're against me, I don't have a friend in the world. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You know what's during those times that we seem to be struggling the most? If we can recognize what God is trying to do, that's when He can talk to us the best. I wish it wasn't the case that people have to hit the bottom before they look up, but that's the case most of the time. And their troubles have enlarged. And they think that there's no hope, but there is a hope. And they need a hope in Jesus Christ. And Isaiah says, they that are putting their hope, that are waiting on Him, He'll lift them up with wings as eagles. He'll make you strong when you don't feel strong. He'll encourage you when you need encouragement. Are you waiting on Him? It says they'll run and they'll not grow weary. Paul will tell us, run the race. Fight the good fight. Because this life is not easy. It's full of trouble. But they that wait upon the Lord, He'll renew their strength. They'll run and they'll not grow weary. And they'll walk and they won't faint. You know, that's what really matters at the end of the day too. How is your walk with God? Do you walk with Him and talk with Him a long, less weary way, like the songwriter would say? Or do you think, nah, I think I can handle this one on my own. I don't need God. Pain and affliction, yes, I often feel unloved. But what's love anyway? I tell you what love is. Love is God caring about you so much that He wouldn't let you stay in this world forever, and that He'd prepare a home for you that's so much better than this life has got for you. But you only get there when you trust in Him. Let's look at that final verse, verse 22. It says, "Redeem Israel, O God, out of his troubles." Man, so many days I've been here. When I woke up and I said, "Lord, today is a good day for a rapture. That you just take me out. Don't make me have to deal with these problems anymore. I could really use a break from it." And there's a Redeemer. Jesus looks down and says, Mitch, I'm going to redeem you one day. In fact, I already have redeemed you. Don't let your mind focus on your problems. Think about the future. Think about what I've done for you. Think about the plan that I have for your life, because I care for you. You may not understand why you're going through the things that you're going through, but I can assure you, you have a Redeemer, and His name is Jesus. Isaiah 63 and verse 16 would say, doubtless thou art our father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, Lord, art our father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. You see, though this world may not care about your issue or your problem, we have a Father in heaven who does. Your family might not care about your problems, but there is a Redeemer who does. His name is Jesus. You have a Redeemer. And when it seems like this life is just beating you up, I want you to remember this psalm. And just pray. Instead of saying, pray, redeem Israel, God. God, redeem Mitch. Redeem my family. You've paid such a high price for me. It's worth it if I give my life. Help me through these hard times. And help me, Lord, to focus on others. Help me to think about others' hard times, because they're going through it. This world is mean. It's living for the devil, and it looks like it. But God said, I've called you out to be a peculiar people. Yeah, you might look strange in this world. That's okay. Because you're not of this world. You're a pilgrim. You're just passing through. Don't get caught up in this world. Don't get caught up in the troubles. Don't let those things get you down. Remember, God's got you. He can take care of you. He loves you. Seek His face. Let Him mount you up with wings of eagles. Let Him make you run so that you don't get weary. Walk. Walk with Him and not faint. If the song leader and pianist would come, let's pray. Dear Lord, I just want to thank You that You're a good God. I want to thank You that You have shown Yourself when I've had the worst times of my life. And I know that there's many here who could testify to the same thing. That whenever it looked like it was its darkest, that's when You shone the brightest. Help us, Lord, to remember You in all the things that we do. To not lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways to acknowledge You. Help us to grow in Your grace. Would You give us Your faith so that we can make it through each and every day. Touch Your people and bless them. If anybody here is going through a bad thing today, Lord, I pray for them. That they would acknowledge You and just let You have their way in their life. And I ask for Your deliverance on them and to redeem them. Help us, Lord, in understanding these things. In Jesus' name I pray.